Ani, welcome. Peace be with you on this glorious summer solstice day, first day of summer, and Indigenous Day of Prayer. I'm standing here on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe people, having just met with Elder Marilyn Capriol, who is going to take our community on a water walk and teach about the necessity for water conservation. Rosedale United Church is an affirming church. All are welcome here, especially as we celebrate Pride Month. I invite you to click on our website, go online, donate to the programs that you find meaningful, and check out what we have going on there. I invite you now to take a moment to settle yourself, to take a deep breath, and to open your heart and your spirit for a time of music and prayer led by Roberta.
Peace be with you. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be with you today as we celebrate and acknowledge the Indigenous Day of Prayer together. Let us begin with prayer. Creator God, Great Spirit, we pray our thanks for the opportunity to gather in this sacred space. Here, we are most aware of the gift of wind and the four directions from which it comes. Here, we are most aware of the gift of sun and the four directions on which it shines. Here, we are most aware of the gift of humanity and the four directions in which we exist. Here, we are most aware of the gift of creation and the four directions which support our living, breathing, and being. This day we pray thanksgiving for the First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people of Canada, and we commit ourselves to be people of reconciliation in the tradition of our beloved Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.
This next video sets the theme for the rest of our service today. It comes to us from Elder Marilyn Capriol from an event that she attended as an elder at the University of Guelph. We're grateful for the footage. We have edited it for our own purposes, but we hope that you will pick up on the themes of Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples coming together for a common cause, in this case, water conservation.
I've been taught, as far back as I can remember, that with life itself, the gift of life that we receive, we are given responsibilities. It's about caring and loving all of life. And so with life comes a responsibility to recognize that that's what we're here for.
The lands and territory where I come from is Ontario, and it was really upsetting how much damage that lifeline is. The water, when I saw it there, when I went to put the tobacco and talk to her, I have no word about what to call it, that state, the substance of what that water would be. That's what drives me.
I think cross-cultural dialogue is absolutely critical in terms of rediscovering the origin story of Canada. The Peace and Friendship Treaties were the original multilateral environmental agreements. It was about living in peace and friendship with one another and living peacefully and respectfully on the land.
I think there's a lot of hope lies in what we're seeing with Indigenous-led conservation that's really had a resurgence in recent years. And we need to have not a consumer-based solution to this problem, but a culture-based solution. And I think those culture-based solutions come from having these conversations across cultures to look for what are the best elements of our cultures and combine them together and move forward with that.
I think that, you know, through ceremony, we have ceremony keepers, knowledge keepers across this land. That relationship we haven't lost. And rather than, you know, the new system feeling like they have the upper hand, they need us again. Just like when they came here and they got sick. They needed us then, they need us now.
If we're going to exercise our responsibilities to the next seven generations, we have to do it with everybody who's sharing the land. The newcomers who have come here, lived on the land for several generations, begin to be informed and guided and become part of the land that they live upon. And in fact, in so doing, we create abundance. We co-create abundance.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads listening today. For your faith and encouragement of your children and your belief in their abilities and their power, we want to thank you and just say that you are a gift. So last week we touched on the story of Abraham and Sarah. God had promised them a child, descendants as many as the stars in the sky. But here they were getting old and older and still no child. Then Abraham was visited by three strangers, angels, who told him Sarah would have a child within a year. So the story that we're about to hear from our scriptures is another part of Abraham and Sarah's story. It relates to an incident that happened a few years earlier, and it's a little bit of a troubling story. Sarah was getting impatient, And so she told Abraham to have sex with one of the women who worked for them, a slave woman. Maybe Sarah and Abraham could keep the baby and get their family started that way. But a plan conceived in a fundamental abuse of another person's dignity, personhood, and rights is an ill-conceived plan that will not work out for good. Abraham did conceive a child with Hagar, a little boy named Ishmael. He was a light and a joy, but Sarah was extremely jealous of Hagar and continued to treat her badly. And even after Sarah gave birth to her own son, Isaac, she harbored ill will. Perhaps she was reminded of her guilt and her wrong-headed plan every time she looked at Hagar and Ishmael. So Sarah decided to do another wrong thing and send Hagar and Ishmael away. And here's where we pick up the story. We're reading from Genesis 21, 8 to 21. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah tells you to do, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. And then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And she sat opposite him. She lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of that boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make of him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the witness of the Hebrew scriptures. Herein lies wisdom. Thanks be to God. It's hard to hear the truth of this story. It's hard to listen to the wrong-headed, abusive actions taken by Sarah and corroborated by Abraham. Sarah considered Hagar a non-person to begin with because Hagar was her slave, someone who worked for her. Why is this story in the Bible, you might be thinking? Well, it's a story that speaks to human experience. I chose to lift up this story from among the choices in our lectionary this Sunday because it's a story that I think is suited to this day in our church calendar, the United Church of Canada's Indigenous Day of Prayer. As a church, This story illustrates and illuminates some of our own history as a denomination. We have needed to listen to stories that are hard to hear, to truths that are hard to reconcile, stories about the United Church's own ill-conceived, wrong, unethical, and sinful treatment of Indigenous peoples at church-run residential schools. Schools our ancestors in faith operated because they conceived of Indigenous peoples the way Sarah conceived of Hagar, as fundamentally less than. There's more to the story of Sarah and Hagar. There is a celebrative side to this story. God was with Hagar, protecting her and her son. God gave them water in the desert, life, even in a place where there was no life. Hagar and Ishmael thrived, and Hagar went on to be the mother of many generations. Hagar was a victim of abuse, but there are more words to describe her. She was dignified, brave, cool-headed, selfless in the care of her son, resourceful, strong. The Indigenous Day of Prayer is a day to celebrate. On National Indigenous Peoples Day, First Nations, Inuit, and Métis values, customs, and language, to repent of the Church's past and our own present perpetuation of injustice. To celebrate Indigenous peoples for all the more that is in them and the more that is in non-Indigenous people as we listen to truth and work for reconciliation. I had the honor and privilege of sitting with Elder Marilyn Capriol this week. Marilyn is a water protector and a teacher of traditional Indigenous knowledge. As we took a boat out from her home through Shawanaga Bay to Osawa Island, everything was our teacher. The boat we were in, the water, the plants, the insects. I invite you now to listen to Marilyn as she shares some of her wisdom and spirituality with this congregation.
So what are Tristan and I doing here today? We are trying to acknowledge and invite the people for a water walk. We can do without many things on earth, but water is something that we cannot survive without. We are born into water and we return leaving our water behind when we make that journey to the resting place, the final resting place. So what a water walk means, and it's something that was visioned in our time, and it was visioned by a late grandmother, Josephine Ba Mandalman. She was gifted with a vision about the water and how sick the water was getting. And this grandmother had that vision quest at the age of 60. And her vision was once the pail was filled and uncovered for the day and lifted up off the grandfather stones, she, that grandmother pail and her water were to keep moving until the day was come to a rest. And it isn't just for Anishinaabe Native people, it's for all human beings, because we took on the agreement with our gods and creator that we would take care of the lands, the waters, the air, and the star world. And all of those hold all the babies of what we need to have in our life. If you look around here at the plants that are growing, there's so much to eat, and we're out in a bald rock, well, not bald rock, but we have so much food just within the green vegetation here that's out in the middle of this little small island. So we had some honeysuckles for a treat before we began this journey. My name, Nabishkwe Dishnakazam Akwado Dem, Shawanaga Dunjabon. So that means water, drinking water, Nabishi. Makwa is my clan, Bear, and Shawanaga is where I am territoried. And that's where we are right now, on Georgian Bay, okay. Absolutely south on Shawanaga Bay to get here. And I come here in this spot for one specific reason. Just over the hill and view from here is the land and the summer camp of my ancestors. Because of the illness of the lands and people that we've experienced in our life walk, and suffering with this virus, what it's meant for the physical world is that it has begun healing. So with illness comes healing. But the water life, there were what we call walking sticks. I don't know what other people call them, but they're on the shores here. And I have not seen this type of water life for more than 35 years. When we talk about women being the caretakers and of the water, we are the speakers of that, and it's because of how our bodies are gifted to us. So when we conceive and the sacred conception of a new human being happens, that sacredness of that wee tiny spot is placed inside the women. And we have what we call in the Anishinaabe, we have a new sweat lodge, and that is the first lodge that we sit in. Our sacred men are the caretakers of the sacred life of the fire. They're the ones that build the fire, take care of the wood, they pray for that breath of the spirit of the fire, they pray for the spirit and give thanks to the stand tall people and the grasses that help bring life to that that fire. In relationship, when we talk about under the water and the land, those are responsibilities for the women as we walk here and the messages that we are to leave behind. In essence, we talk about the men and the responsibility of the fire and their warrior place in the clans. And it's more than just a few words. Their link is to take care of that air. And what's been left behind in the sacred sky world are the constellations. And they are like the petroglyphs and pictographs that are here as our ancestors left them. So those are creator's messages in that sky world for the men to take care of, to celebrate, you know, gathering a need of food for your village or community, family. You know, when the winds come, when the snows are, that's the type of knowledge that the warrior people, the male, have.
Thank you. above earth's lamentation, I catch the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, I know my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night He giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? From singing. From singing. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am His. How can